I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be. Of all the love I have won or have lost, there is one love I should never have crossed. She was a girl in a million, my friend. I should have known she would win in the end. I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. Although I laugh and I act like a clown, beneath this mask I am wearing a frown. My tears are falling like rain from the sky. Is it for her or myself that I cry? I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. What have I done to deserve such a fate? I realize I have left it too late. And so it's true, pride comes before a fall. I'm telling you so that you won't lose all. I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
My head and these boots on my face. Warning, the following podcast contains views and thoughts that may not be suitable for younger audiences. Spoiler content will be included in this podcast, so if you do not want to be spoiled, you might want to wait until the podcast hits the archives. Accordingly, the thoughts and views of our hosts or callers do not reflect the views of the Missy AE podcast or any of the Whispers groups.
Welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE show. Tonight is our first recap of Survivor 44. The new season kicked off last night. Three tribes, 18 players. Not a whole lot of twist. There was one that you didn't see that they edited out that I had told a few people about. And you'll see it next week because I've already seen it in a picture in a promo for next week. So I don't know why they didn't show it this week, but we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about each tribe. We'll talk about the players. Who did good? Who did bad? What could be coming up? I'm trying to get back to my main screen here. There we go. All right. And it was a 90-minute premiere followed by Amazing Race for 90 minutes. So I like that concept. You get 3 hours of the best, well, some people would say not the best two reality shows on TV, because there's one airing right now that our podcast is competing against. But if we have enough callers tonight, we'll make some picks and keep up with them throughout the season like we normally do and see who does what. But overall, it was, I don't know, it wasn't a great premiere. It was good because it was 90 minutes. But just a few of the cast members and some of the gameplay or lack of gameplay kind of made it a little underwhelming for me. I do see some players I think I'm going to like, see some I'm not going to care about. And we're going to get into all of that. And there's been a lot of buzz. I've had a lot of conversations today with ex-survivors about last night and, of course, them wanting to know from me what I know that's coming. Yeah, there are survivors that love spoilers, lots of them, in fact. But, Steve, what were your impressions about the premiere?
Well, first, I do agree with you with the 90-minute the 90-minute change. I liked what I saw last night. I know Melissa and I discussed last week, or not last week, but on Monday night, you know, what could potentially go wrong with them switching it over to 90 minutes, whether or not we'll just get more filler or if we'll get more actual content to build into different edits. And for at least this week, we got exactly that. You know, it wasn't, a lot of the stuff that was shown wasn't filler. It actually meant something to the overall narrative of the episode. And I think if they can continue doing that, I think we got potentially a great season on our hands edit wise. And maybe perhaps this may allow CBS to move forward with more 90-minute episodes from now on in upcoming seasons. As far as the gameplay, good God almighty. I think maybe out of the entire Lulu tribe, I think Sean is maybe the only smart one out of that group. Or maybe, okay, maybe Sean, Sabia, and Caleb are maybe the only smart ones out of that group. The one thing I said during the cast assessment was when I got to Emily, I kept saying red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag. And by God, was I right. Watching her play or overplay last night, good God. I don't think I've seen, I mean, somebody, she got skeptical over, you know, she believed that Sabia and Caleb, number one, were lying about what they volunteered for the Sweat versus Savvy. And then to top it all off, she got pissed off she became skeptical of them for even volunteering. Since when is it even smart to be skeptical of somebody right out of the gate for volunteering to play for your tribe? I mean, the stupidity is just mind-boggling, honestly, Jim, on the Lulu tribe. And from what we discussed in the cast assessment pod, it doesn't surprise me at all that they're probably going to get decimated, because you have somebody who flat out disrespects the game by going to tribal and quitting instead of, you know, just allow them to vote you out. No, you decide to quit. Then why the fuck did you even sign up for the game to begin with?
And you know what's funny about that? In one of her interviews today, she said had she not done that, she thought the vote was going to be Emily.
And it probably would have been. That's what's so mind-boggling, Jim, is that, you know, Emily is still after this being looked at as public enemy number one, at least based off of the next time on Survivor, tease that we got. But, I mean, you have somebody who's overplaying the game completely, and it's literally the first 3 days of the game. You have somebody who's maybe the worst challenge. And we thought Cochran was a horrible challenge competitor. My God, Brandon may take the cake out of any Survivor player to have ever played to be the worst Survivor
but
challenge
I'll
competitor
give you, I'll
of all
give
time.
You a little I'll give you a little inside info on Cochran. He could hardly swim, but he knew he was going to be on the show. He worked out swimming in an Olympic-sized swimming pool every day, trying to get better swimming. So he at least was doing his homework physically before going out there. So he was trying to put in the effort to do that. It's funny that you mentioned Emily only after 3 days. Hell, she started day one on the mats going after Bruce on another tribe. And what's going to be funny is next week, I told you didn't see it last night, with a player visiting the other camp, but you'll see it next week because Bruce is going to go to Lulu, so Emily's going to get another shot to run him down.
You know, I think Bruce actually made a pretty big mistake out on the boat when Emily called him out like he did or like she did. What he could have done was he could have basically flipped the script out over on her and basically try to tell her tribe about to just look at her and see how much of a loose cannon she already is, and the game hasn't even started yet. And I kind of feel like Bruce, he tried to do what he thought was the right thing, tried to say, hey, for me, it's on the same level playing field as you all, because I was barely even out here for a day last season.
And in all honesty, that's the truth. I mean, how much can you say he has an advantage over you when he was there for hours?
Exactly. Like I said, Jim, the logic of last night is mind-boggling. The stupidity is mind-boggling. And that's just on the Lulu tribe. The one thing I'll say about the Bello and Reba tribes is that they seem more there to actually play the game. You know, I don't see anybody from Reba or Bello possibly quitting if we have more than one quitter, like Hannah just did.
There's going to be one more.
However, there are a couple of people that stuck out to me last night. I feel Austin from Reba stuck out to me. Emily, for obvious reasons, stuck out. Whether or not that's good or bad remains to be seen. But Lulu's going to get more than likely decimated either way. Keturah stuck out to me from the Bello tribe. And so did Kendra. I was very surprised that Kendra was actually the one that has kind of been starting up all of the strategy talk so far at Bello. And
well, later on, I'll give you four names. I'll give you five. I'll give you five names to really watch. And you know, normally when I do that, you can pick the winner out of those names. We'll do that later tonight if we get some more people on here.
We do have Melissa and JB with us currently. So
Melissa?
We'll probably get more.
How's it going, Melissa?
Fine.
You're trying to go back and forth, I bet.
No, I'm actually not. I had decided that I was just going to wait and watch the show after we talked.
Okay. How you doing? How you doing, JB?
I think JB has himself on mute again.
Okay. Well, I was just going to quickly give, we're kind of looking at each tribe. I'll quickly give my thoughts, and I'll rank the tribes from worst to first. Of course, the worst is Lulu. We saw what happened with Hannah. You know, Brandon is dead man walking. I saw someone today on Twitter compare Emily to Gabler and said maybe she's going to get an edit like Gabler and actually end up winning this damn thing.
I hope not.
The other side of that is they could be showing her all they can while they can. Sean kind of gives me a little neutral thing. You don't know where he's going to his loyalty is going to lie. Sabia, from what I'm told, her exit and her experience out there was very, very ugly. So, and then Caleb seemed like a good guy, but don't look for too much from him deep-wise. The number two ranked tribe, Reba, I agree with you, Steve. I like Austin. Might surprise some folks. Drew, I think they've seen this too many times to let the nerd / genius stay in, so I don't think you have a chance. Jemiah, I really, really like, which normally means they're not going to win. but I like her. Sifu, nah, he ain't going to be around long. He too wild, too out there. He's not going to be around. Julie, that's the one to watch on that track. Believe it or not, Julie's the one to watch on that track.
I could kind of see that, Jim. When just to cut in a little bit of some Eddie, some of Eddie edit talk here. I kind of saw, you know how Eddie would tell us to look at how somebody was framed in a certain shot.
Yeah.
There were a few shots of Julie last night that really had me thinking that she could, that, you know, she's somebody who's probably going to be around for the long haul. Maybe not necessarily win the game, but somebody that could potentially be focused on once the merge hits.
Yeah. Now, the number one ranked tribe, the dominant tribe, Brando,
Lulu.
Now, Lulu is not the number one. I already went over number three and number two,
on.
JB. Number one ranked tribe is Bello, but don't expect a whole lot from Brando. Same thing, genius, nerd. They're not going to let that happen this season. Bruce, I don't know why, but it seems to me like they're kind of editing him to be a damn clown or something. I don't know why they're doing that. But next week he's going to visit the Lulu tribe, and him and Emily should have some fun together. Jake, that's one of the guys you need to keep an eye on. Keturah, keep an eye on her. Kelly, keep an eye on her. Kendra, keep an eye on her.
Holy moly.
So I gave you Keturah, Kelly, Kendra, Julie, and Jake. Five people to watch. Four of them are females.
So watch the Baylor tribe.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
She's writing. The five players I said to watch are Keturah, Kelly, Kendra, and Jake from the Bello tribe. Well, I actually gave you six. I gave you another one. I gave you two from Reba, Julie and Dee. So,
does that mean my Austin's not going to be up there, huh?
Not as far as you want him.
Yeah.
But you can be in the boat with me because I like Jemiah, and she's not going to be there either. But she is going to have – Jemiah is going to have an interesting role in the game. Kind of a little twist she's going to be involved in. So JB, you finally here? What was you doing? Was you taking a shit or what?
I'm here. I spoke to you earlier
and you acted like I stole your lunch money or something and didn't speak.
Well, that's what happens with bullies sometimes.
No,
and you admitted
you were a bully. You gotta stop muting yourself while you're on those porn sites, JB.
Well, I like to watch that. Well, this is a new telephone that I have, and I've had it for about 2 months, and I'm still working out everything.
Let me count for a minute. And Steve can verify this, but let me count. I have bought four cell phones this year, just this year.
Yeah, that I can confirm from God knows how many talks we have had. I can confirm that as an absolute fact.
All right, Steve gave his initial thoughts about the premiere. Melissa, let me hear yours. Break it down, tribe-wise, player-wise, what we saw, the good, the bad, the ugly. Just lay it out there.
Well, Steve pretty much said it all already. Not much to add. You know, so Dan Demily, she's got to go get her off my TV. What a bitch. That's all I can say. The slob Brandon, I could not even believe it. Watching his, I've been working out and I've been doing this and I've been doing that. Are you kidding me right now?
If you look at any of his, he is a Survivor super fan. That is not a lie. He is. He's played Survivor games. He's played Survivor games online. So he knows what it takes for this game. And he used to be in a lot better shape, but he shows up heavier than he's ever been.
He was ridiculous. That's all I have to say. He's not worth a hill of beans,
Steve,
on that show.
Steve,
he should have just
gone.
Remember, in his interview, in his beginning interview, he said he almost didn't get on the plane. And he called his mom and said, would you be mad at me if I didn't get on the plane or disappointed? And she said, no, but you'd be disappointed in yourself. So he got the nerve to get on the plane. He should have just stayed home.
Yeah, I think he legitimately has anxiety issues, but that still doesn't stop a super fan from knowing what it takes in this game and going out. And it's like I said earlier, even John Cochran, as little as he was, he swam in an Olympic pool every day trying to get better swimming before he went out there.
Obviously.
You know?
Yeah. Obviously, he didn't think he was going
to
need it.
He didn't do nothing but go to Pizza Hut's buffet.
Obviously. I mean, it's like he thinking to himself probably, it's probably not as bad as I think it's going to be. What the heck?
Oh, it's worse.
I'll have another cheeseburger.
Yeah, it's
and
worse.
And double up those fries, you know?
Anybody that's ever played the game will tell you it's worse than what they thought.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
Steve,
as much as it made
something?
Me mad.
Forget it. Go ahead.
As much as it made me mad that Hannah quit, the thing is, I really liked her from her interview. She was one of my favorites going in. And when I was reading that episode description you had posted somewhere, I can't even find it now, but she had, you know, it was like they did her wrong. And they didn't even cover the journey, which I highly doubt they even went on, right?
They did have other stuff they didn't show. Like, they didn't show the visit from a player, you know. And that they will show that next week because it's Bruce. And, you know, Emily's going to be at camp. So they got a chance for fireworks next week.
Yeah, it's they were making it out to say that it wasn't Hannah's fault that she went home and that she was mad that she went home, and it was all Brandon and Sabaya and Sean's fault, blah, blah, blah. And it turned out that she just flipping quit. What a letdown.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one of the funniest moments last night was when Brandon was trying to climb the ladder, and a tribe mate just said, "Screw you, I'm climbing over the top of your ass."
Yeah.
And left him in the water. That's
I mean, seriously,
on Twitter. Somebody
he told
helped
him,
that man
no,
before he drowned.
Jim, he told him to go. He told him to go.
Yeah, but I mean, it looks so funny. He's about there. He's down there about to drown, and the other dude said, "I see you."
Well, that's because Brandon told him. Brandon told him to go. He told him to go.
So,
I had one
survivor tell me today or ask me today, "Are you sure how soon Brandon leaves?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm positive." And they're like, "Oh, I hate that. He's such a good kid." And I'm like, "Well, but he can't play Survivor." I mean, you know, I got great kids too, but I doubt half of them could play Survivor.
Oh, you know what, Steve? You know, you had posted that thing that the puzzle was going to be this. You'd posted it, and then Hamster Watch came back and said, "Nope, this isn't the puzzle. It's something else, but it's the damn puzzle." Okay, go ahead. All right. I do have it on my computer I'm watching, but, you know, I can't get BMX and I can't get Video Brother or whatever it is. So I have to watch it on Kick, and I cannot stand to play. Oh, my God.
Get
that Bruno guy.
Get Melissa, get Paramount Plus.
Huh?
Get Paramount Plus.
I have Paramount Plus.
Well, you can watch it on there.
I can, but I can't watch it live.
Yeah, no,
I can't watch it on the East Coast. I can't watch the East Coast. I can't watch the East Coast showing.
Oh, okay. I wasn't thinking about time zones. Okay, I got you. I got you.
Yeah, so it seems like Capone's the only one I can get it on all the way through, and I can't stand him. He just talks all the way through it. It just pisses me off. And I'm sitting here going, "Shut the hell up." Oh, my God.
Well, just,
so anyway,
just
I have it on mute.
I can honestly tell you, since premiere night when they moved in, I have not watched 1 second. So
Big Brother?
All I see is what you guys post and what I see on Twitter.
Does JJ watch it?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay.
I just ain't into it. They lost me. I loved what Taylor did, but I hated what she had to go through. You know, if you know what I mean, you know, it was almost like, does the prize overrule what all the shit she had to go through? And then the previous seasons with all the, you know, where you're going to gang up five or six people from one race to take out it. I just ain't into that shit. I just ain't into that. They messed that show up. They messed that show up. They just need to go back to Celebrity Big Brother.
To be fair though, Jim, Celebrity Big Brother wasn't any better.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically rigged it for Todd to make the final.
What do you guys think? I don't understand how. This stuff happens on Big Brother. It don't happen on Survivor. I mean, we did have one season where there was talk of like a all race alliance thing, but it lasted about 5 days.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
I just don't like that. I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So back to Survivor, one thing that I did notice when Jim was talking about, or not Jim, Jeff Probst, when he said if super fans just know, read the titles of the episodes, you can figure out a lot. So guess who said title? Guess who said the title last night? Hannah.
I didn't pay. Oh, was it?
Uh-huh.
I didn't pay attention. I usually pay attention to that, but I didn't last night.
Uh-huh.
I usually try to figure it out.
Yeah. So
I do have crap. It's on my phone. I may mess up trying to look at it. I do have the confessional count from last night. I just haven't posted it yet. Let me see if I can pull it up without hanging up. If I hang up, I'll call right back. Wait, I got to this is crazy. You know, it's crazy when you get a text message from the other room. But that's how it is.
That's how we are here.
Let me see. I'm going to try to find that picture. I'm getting a little better at this, but I'm still not confident, if you know what I mean. Let's see. Where am I?
Well, while you're doing that,
Here we go.
Okay.
Okay, I got it. I got it. Confessional count. Sabia, 7. Brandon, who's leaving soon, 6. Emily, 6. Jake, 5. Datura, 4. Kelly, 4. Kendra, 4. Brando, 3. Bruce, 3. Caleb, 3. Seafood, 3. Austin, 2. D, 2. Drew, 2. Sean, 2. Jemiah, 1. Julia, 1. And Hannah, before she left, 4. So if you're looking at that and we look at what we normally do, you would think Sabia, Brandon, Emily would be in trouble, but I've done told you Sabia, Emily. Well, I didn't tell you Emily. Sabia, Jake, Keturah, Kelly, Kendra are all safe. So the one that stands out in trouble is Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
According to the confessionals. And the inside information. I mean, it's like, you know, he's in trouble. Just face it. And as much as that survivor kept asking me today, are you sure? Are you sure I like him? Are you sure? I'm like, how many times I got to tell you?
Yeah, you know, it's a clear red herring when they put on the next time on Survivor that Emily is public enemy number one. All right, let's be honest here. Are you really going to keep somebody who absolutely sucks at challenges over somebody that maybe you can't really trust or maybe you're annoyed the shit out of by?
Well,
I'm sorry, but
here's the other thing about it, Steve. Are you going to keep somebody that absolutely sucks at challenges, has told you about medical conditions, and he even told a player or two he wanted to quit? I mean, you got a guy that can't do nothing.
Oh, no.
And is talking about quitting.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit.
I mean, if I got a guy on my team talking about quitting and he ain't no good no way, I'm like holding the damn door open.
Right. I mean, seriously, you know, what I was going to say earlier was, you know, Cochran may have been scrawny and whatnot and may have not been good with the water. But at least he would have probably put up a better, you know, a better attempt on that boat than Brandon did. I mean, Brandon, he looked like he was a scared little cat just hanging on for dear life.
He was his little fat ass.
And see, that's the thing about it, JB. The guy used to be in lots better shape. Lots better.
Yeah.
He finds out he's gonna be on Survivor and he shows up in the worst condition of his life. I mean, what do you think? What'd you think of
Cam has resurrected
JB
himself?
The tribes? JB, what'd you think last night with the tribes, the players, who'd you like, who you don't like? Who do you think could have a chance? Who do you think ain't got a prayer in hell? What do you think about last night?
Well, the tribe that don't have a prayer in hell is Lulu. I mean, you can even tell by the name of the tribe, Lulu. I mean, that right there tells you. plus, it's a yellow tribe. And they can't do shit, any one of them. And it's like, I think the only one that can do anything is that Sabea. But.
No, forget that.
But when she was at that one, when them poor people had to go to that, island
Flint
and everything.
Flint and Sammy.
She couldn't lift up one of those.
They don't hear me.
One of those logs, and she's a truck driver, and she's a veteran from the U.S. Marine Corps. And true,
yeah,
it was
still,
probably
still
a long
female.
Time.
Yeah, one of the things I pointed out about them logs was, why aren't any of the men carrying one over each shoulder and taking two at a time?
We got wimpy guys out there that went out there.
I mean, that's what I'd have done. I'd have put one over each shoulder. I'd have took two at a time as long as I could. And then if I couldn't do it no more, I'd take one. But I'd start out taking two at a time.
Yeah, but you're...
Jim, we got...
You're a different build than, the four that was actually... actually went out there.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Jim, you gotta keep in mind this may be one of the weakest male casts that we've seen in quite some time.
Well,
so,
I gave you six names and five of them were female. So what's that tell you?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
that tells me females are
going to
kick ass.
Obviously, they're not. They're not good strategically. But you know, at least physically, you know, if you're going to be going on Survivor, at least prepare yourself to, you know, actually do some heavy lifting. You know, bulk up.
Well, I had to laugh because in the very beginning of the I think it was the immunity, where they said, oh, you have to lift these heavy sandbags. and give it, you know, they're really heavy and they were trying to get that rope. Remember? Austin was throwing it like it was popcorn out of that case.
He's impressive. I mean, I'll give you that, Melissa. Your favorite you picked out. I liked him. But you know, it's a numbers game too. You know, it's numbers,
yeah, I know.
Loyalty, and timing. So numbers,
yep,
will catch up with you.
Yeah, well, something
had
those gone horribly wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, doesn't mean he's not a good player, not a good guy at all. I mean, I like him too. But pretty much going to be a female-dominated season. What do you think, Steve? I mean, we got one more that's going to quit. Do you think Brandon's going to quit? We're going to have back-to-back quits in episodes 1 and 2? That would just be, I mean, earth-shattering. That's never happened.
I think
they're just going to put his ass out.
For somebody that's a super fan, I really don't think that he would take the quitting route. I don't. Because
you can basically
hand over your super fan card if you end up going out there to play the game and you end up quitting.
Good point.
You can basically
hand
over your super fan card.
Yeah.
Okay. Based on what you had said before about a certain player that is an ex-angry castaway, I'm wondering if it wasn't Sabia. I'm wondering if it wasn't Sabia. Yeah.
That's a good thought. She has kind of actually distanced herself from the show. So something happened.
Yep. And for someone, like Emily that says, if I can't win the game, then send me home first. She sure didn't want to go home first, did she?
No, but you know what? I've thought about that before. And that's kind of a tough one for me. Because I see that point. And if I'm not going to win, I'd just go on and leave now. But then the other part of me that's competitive is like, I still want to be in there digging and scraping and at least make the final three. So, I mean, I see points to both sides. I mean, how would you be, JB? If you knew you weren't going to win, would you rather just go and go home? Or would you want to stay out there and at least try to make final three?
I would not take the Hannah Rose route. But I would want to, even, you know, with my age and everything like that, I still would want to, you know, do everything I could to last as long as possible. I would not quit.
Okay, and the other thing about this, Melissa, if you're looking at both points of view, if I'm not going to win, let me go and leave now so I don't have to sit out here and suffer for, you know, 20, 24 days and still not win. The other side of that being I'm not going to win, but I'm going to stay out here that many days and try to get there, try to make the final three. The point I would make is the type of player I am and how I value alliance and relationship. If it were me and I knew I still had a chance to help you or JB or Steve to win, but I'm not going to win, don't send me home tonight. I'm staying. So that's something else you have to consider. What do you think about this, Melissa?
I don't know. I wouldn't be the one to say, if I don't win, if I'm not going to win, just send me home. I would be going as far as I could. So,
okay.
I don't know.
I'm going to ask Steve so he puts it on the record, but I know what his answer is going to be because we get it in online whispers games. His ass ain't leaving. If he don't win, he going to make sure I win.
Yeah, you know, if anything, at least continue to play for pride. You know, don't go out there and say, oh, I'm not going to win this game, so here, vote me out right away. Then why the fuck did you come out on the show? That's, you know, that's the point I made earlier. Why did you even bother to sign up if you're not going to at least give it a shot? I mean, yeah, you may not
win. And you don't know what they're
going to, you know.
And you, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, the longer that you stay in the game, the more money that you actually make. So,
yeah, that's a good point. And the other thing I was going to say is, you don't know what they're going to do. What if they brought back the truck challenge or, you know, the luxury car or luxury truck challenge, and if you win this immunity, you win a truck, and your ass decided to leave after 3 days. What if they give away prizes later on, trips or something? What if there's a twist and you can do that? And you said, send me home. I don't like this. I want the hotel and the food. You don't know.
Right.
So.
I still look at it the way I had said it, though, Jim, is, you know, if you understand that you're not going to win, you should at least still be able to try and get as much of the survivor experience as possible. Not just go out there, realize day two, oh, I'm not going to win, and then here, vote me out day three. That would have been a waste of just...
Maybe 6 or 8 days later, you win an immunity challenge and you get to wear that necklace.
Right.
But you said, nah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm going to take the hotel and the food.
Honestly, it's anybody that goes out there. Now, I understand what everybody's saying. Like, oh, you don't know what it's like until you actually go out there. Yeah. But at the same time, that's no excuse. I mean, I'm sorry, Hannah.
Well,
call me a hater, but that's no excuse.
Here's my thing about it. Two of the hardest quits ever for me were Nay. That's Nayonka, for people that don't know her as Nay, and Purple Kelly Shin. Because Brenda, who I was with at the time, had just got voted out and loved the game, wanted to stay in the game, and then she had to sit there on the jury and see the next two players quit. Now, that sucks. But at least they lasted 20-plus days before they did it. And I know from talking to Nay, I mean, we're good friends. She was hurting. She said, Jim, my damn bones was even hurting. I mean, it's not like I respect any quit, but I can see that better than somebody after just 3 days. Really? 3 days. And you ready for the hotel and the good food. You know.
Okay, just an update. Cam did go back in the house, and Jared is out. Okay. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Jim, I have a question for you.
All right. I mean, hey, don't be scared to ask me questions. I've been hearing them all day from survivors.
No, Monday you were talking about the other quitter. And is it Jake?
No.
Okay.
No, Jake does not quit. Jake
okay.
goes deep. Let me say that again. Jake goes deep.
Yeah, I know you said that he was probably in the final three and didn't get any votes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who'd I tell it to?
Now you see for anybody listening, if you had listened to the Cast Analysis podcast, you would know that Jim did mention this on that show.
Yeah. But the way
okay.
he worded it made me think that maybe he
look, my,
that
look,
maybe
all these kids I got, my memory ain't no good no more. I don't remember what I say. I usually go to Steve and say, did I say that last night? But, yeah, no, Jake goes deep.
Okay. But then right after that, he said,
quit.
Or possibly quit. So that's why I put possible quit by his name, because.
No, ain't no way Jake quit. And
hey.
Melissa, I told you earlier tonight, I gave you like six names and five of them were females and Jake's the only male.
I know, but it sounded the way you said it last week made it sound like somebody quit when they got that deep.
Oh. Nah.
That's why I asked the question to clarify.
No.
Okay.
No. Steve, if we go in the huddle and TB12 is calling in the play, he's looking at Jake and saying, go deep.
Yeah, basically Jake is Randy Moss.
Randy Moss without any trophies.
Yeah. Essentially.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right.
Did anybody have any thoughts about Dee?
I loved her. I just love her.
Did you? I told you I had a lot of survivors contact me, and I had a couple of my favorite people in Whispers, Sophie and Denise, contacted me. Those were my girls one season when I was hosting a Survivor Whispers game, and they played for the first time, and I always did a cast analysis about what I knew about the players, Melissa, before the season started, and if players would listen, it would help them, you know. And that particular season, it was like, okay, we got a graduate from Yale, we've got a graduate from Harvard. And I expect big things from both of them. That was Denise and Sophie. Denise was runner-up, and Sophie won. I'm like, thank you, girls. Thank you for making me look smart. And both are successful now. Denise is a big-time model, and Sophie is married. Did you know that, Steve? Sophie got married?
I did not know that, actually.
Yeah, Sophie's married, and I still love them both to death because of that season. And both have applied for Survivor, and Denise actually made it to the finals one season and didn't get on. So check them out
if
you don't know who they are.
If you were in
you don't know who
only,
they are,
you
look them up.
About that.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't know who they are, look them up. They're in Whispers. Denise Kwong and Sophie Bellarity. Great girls. But, yeah, and what I was going to say is that was the reason Sophie contacted me last night, because she loves Dee, and she's got some common friends that are friends with Dee. So she was curious how well Dee did. She was asking me, and she said, I know I haven't bothered you in a couple of seasons, but I'm curious now, Jim, what does Dee do?
Yeah, I really like her. That was one of my favorites going in, that I really did like her, and I wouldn't be mad if she won, if Austin couldn't win.
JB, what about you? Do you remember Dee? Did she make an impression?
I did like her, and my wife liked her too. My wife could not stand Emily. Oh, for the.
I don't think I've heard a female yet that liked Emily.
Said, oh, I can't.
She was awful.
Steve, what about you? What did you think about Dee?
Well, I found it interesting when they were doing the opening confessionals, and she said that this is her only chance to play a game like this, and she's going to play like it's her only chance. And from what we saw out of her last night, you know, she's definitely very, you know, she notices a lot of things out on the Reba tribe that maybe perhaps certain people don't realize. Like, I believe she was the one that found Sifu attempting to be Tony with him hiding and whatnot. And by the way, might I add, Sifu, you're no Tony, because that was amateur, if anything.
Don't you get the impression Sifu is trying to just be a character so he gets camera time?
Yes.
I thought that was
abundantly clear from the very beginning of the episode. Yeah.
But you know what? I liked him a lot more than I did after watching his interviews. I thought, well, maybe he's not going to be so bad. Maybe he'll be a little bit of entertainment anyway.
He ain't gonna last long.
Okay, and that's fine. He's not my favorite. He wasn't one of my favorites. I just made a note.
I really did think he was just trying so hard to get on camera.
Mm-hmm.
We do have Reggie joining us in the second hour here.
Yeah.
Hey, Reggie.
Hi, Reggie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
How you doing? How you doing, Reggie?
Have you sent me that $100 yet, Jim?
No, I don't want to see that Grim Reaper yet.
That was so funny. When you put that on there, I thought, hey.
But hey, I give you that. That was funny.
Slip me $100 and I'll go tap him on the back.
Hey, for $200, you bring a marching band. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, I posted on my timeline today. When I die, I'll leave anybody $50 who will promise to come to my funeral and dress up like the Grim Reaper. Reggie wants $100.
But why do I want $100?
You
I want tell 100.
That's you.
I want $100 because I'm going to dress up like the Grim Reaper and tap people on the back of his choice. And, like, you're next.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny because my daughter was showing me a meme today that this little old lady had cards made up that she wanted handed out at her funeral,
Oh no!
And the cards are of her. The cards are of her. There's a picture of her in a pizza box. Okay. And it says, let's keep in touch. And in the, well, it looked like a pizza box, but it was. And it says, let's keep in touch. And then there's a picture of a Ouija board.
Oh,
a Ouija board is in the, box.
Well, oh,
I thought that
God.
Was hilarious.
I had a bad experience with a Ouija board.
Me too. I won't even go near him.
I know.
Yeah, it was bad. It was, back when I was married to Christopher's mom, early on, I think we'd been together like a year, and she had a Ouija board, and they had it all set up. We were going to sit in the living room on the floor and do the Ouija board, had the lights all off, and it was actually a setup on me that kind of backfired because she started asking questions and stuff, and she got around to something about her grandmama, and grandma, if you're here, please show yourself, and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, walking down the hall, I see somebody wearing a damn sheet over them, walking over toward us. And we had candles burning in the floor, and they come walking over toward us. And we were right by the front door, and I saw that, and my ass jumped up and grabbed whoever it was and opened that door and threw their ass out the front door and kicked over the candles, and she had to put out the fire. And it turned out it was her cousin David. It was her cousin David. They were setting me up, and I threw him out the door, and he hit his head on the damn concrete.
Oh, no.
So I don't like Ouija boards, but after that, they didn't try that shit no more with me.
I kid you not. We didn't do Ouija boards. We did automatic writing, okay? And I remember you hold the pencil to the paper, and you ask questions, and your hand just starts moving. And it – okay, so –
yeah. Yeah, that was happening too, but I think she was moving it.
Yeah. So basically it, my hand wrote out fire and pointed south, like going south. And we didn't think anything of it until like 5 or 6 years later, when one of the girls that was with me when I did that automatic writing, her family's home caught on fire.
Oh, my Lanta.
They had a lot of damage.
Oh, my Lanta. That's sad.
I'll tell you this story. This is the only story I've ever had in my life that actually happened to where I know there's something out there. There's something different. I was a kid. I was like 14, 15 maybe. Me and my grandmama was sitting in the living room watching TV. Just ate supper. We were watching TV. We hear a knock on the back door. We've got a back porch with a screen door. And then we got a door coming into the house. We're hearing the knock on the door coming into the house. We go back there, and I'm just a kid. I'm like 14, 15, and she's hollering, who is it? Nobody's saying nothing. They ain't saying a word. So we go back to the living room, sit back down. It starts up again, banging on the back door. We go because the back door came to the kitchen. We go back to the kitchen. We're standing there, and they're banging on the door, and we can see it moving from them banging on the door. And she's hollering, I got a gun. Who is this? Go on. Leave us alone. And it gets quiet. And doesn't happen again.
But the next morning, we go on the back porch to see if they stole anything, if they did anything on the back porch. The back porch screen door was locked.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's, wow, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. Great, and I got to go to sleep tonight with just my cats. Never mind, let's move on.
Something wasn't right because you can't get to the back door to the kitchen unless you get to the through the screen door on the porch, and you can't leave and lock the screen door from the outside. How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, I kind of have dreams, guys, and I don't have them all the time, but when I do have them, it's like I'm dreaming about certain things, and just out of the blue, somebody just walks through my dream, or I'll see a piece of paper with a name on it, and typically it's not good.
Uh-oh.
So one time I was so freaked out one morning that I messaged my aunt and I said, check on Uncle Roy, because Uncle Roy just got up and walked through my screen, and then I saw his name on a piece of paper. And she goes, oh, I'm sure he's okay, blah, blah, blah. But then she emails me back and says, well, he is having problems with his heart, blah, blah, blah. The night before his death, I dreamt that he was sitting in a chair and he got up and he just walked out of my dream. And the next morning my aunt called me and told me he passed. He was sitting in his chair in the living room. And had a heart attack.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if you call it ghost. I don't know if it's just through God. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know there ain't no way nobody could have got on. I know there ain't no way nobody could have got on that damn porch through that locked screen door. And banged on the back door, and we're seeing it moving, and then get off the screen and lock it. They couldn't have done that.
I didn't have that kind of dream when my mom died. I didn't have that kind of dream when my dad died. It's really, really random. And... It's happened to me all through my life.
That's kind of scary, Melissa, because they say when you start dreaming about loved ones that you've lost, that it's almost your time. And anytime I dream about somebody I've lost, it scares me because I think, shit, I'm going to go.
No, it's not even dreaming. My mom saw my grandma before. I mean, she was wide awake. So anyway, so it's happened. Like, you know, the plane crash, God, it was in the late 70s, mid to late 70s, I think.
Oh,
and there was a
plane crash
in Orange County. It was a collision. In midair. And I had got up and I was telling my mom, I said, man, I had the freakiest dream. Planes crashed and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, oh, gosh, that's really bad. Well, then that day that we were sitting there watching TV and there was the sudden news flash. And I swear to you, they had those aerial shots and they were exactly what I saw in my dream. Exactly.
It's just weird. It's freaky.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, let's get back to
it. Is so. So let me bring us back to Survivor since we've heard other opinions.
Yeah.
We haven't heard Reggie. We haven't heard your opinion about the premiere, the 90-minute premiere, what we saw, the three tribes, who's good, who's bad. You saw individual players. You saw Emily and Bruce. You saw somebody quit on day three. You saw Brandon struggle, who's a super fan. You saw a whole lot of stuff last night in 90 minutes. What did you think? Good, bad, ugly, confused? What did you think?
About all that, I didn't like the 90 minutes because then you got 90 minutes of Amazing Race, and it's just, like, too much to me. I'm just, like, 90 minutes. One or the other is 90 minutes. That's fine, but the other one, bring back to an hour. I detest Emily because of the article I read that she got so infuriated, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I do this a lot, and I'll get on my phone, and I'll read stuff. And I even put on there, I said, I know it's 2:52 in the morning, and I'm reading this article.
Well, I did that the other night, and it was bad.
And I read it twice. I read it twice, and I couldn't understand what infuriated her. She never did say. So she got angry because he won. He was out there in the elements, and he won. And it pissed her off so dang bad, she next day made an amateur tape and got on Survivor. Woo woo! What the hell were you mad about?
Reggie, like we said, you gonna get pissed off at somebody that's played the game before for how many hours? Not even days. How many hours?
Mm-hmm. So anyway,
was it Gabler that she was mad?
The only experience he had was banging his damn head.
Well, this is true, but he did win.
Isn't that who she said made her mad?
Yep, that's what made her mad, I think. She never did give another reason. But then she started hammering on Bruce at hello. It was like, you're going to act your arrogant ass. You're showing your ass on TV.
Yeah, that's what
TV.
I was talking about.
Still down. I do not like her. I'm never going to like her. And I don't know why, but I really think Katrua is the cutest little thing. I really like her.
Here we go with Reggie, like she did Gabler. She's singling out Katrua, and I've told you, she's somebody to watch.
I liked her. I think I even commented the other night when we were talking that I really like Katrua. I think she is the cutest as a bug's ear, and her sweet personality, of course, that don't win the game. I got that, but it'll take her a long ways. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon,
I like her, too.
Brandon can go in the wind, like, he can go sit behind the tree like I asked Emily to do, but she didn't do it. So, anyway.
But if he sits behind a tree, he can't hide because you can still see him.
That's okay. If he turns his back to us, he's not going to be talking to my face. So anyway, who else stood out? Kind of Katrua. Who else?
What about Austin? Did you like Austin? Melissa really likes Austin.
I don't
on the
remember.
Red tribe.
Oh, yes, yes. I don't really like Suri or whatever that guy's name is, the yodel guy or the
Siri.
Kung Fu guy.
Siri.
Yeah, Siri. I'm not, unless he warms up on me, I'm not a fan of his. But, yeah, I do
okay.
like Austin.
What we said about him is it looks like he's trying really hard just to get on camera.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's like just chill down. You'll get your camera time. They try to be equal as much as possible. Leave it alone. So, yeah. But I thought two got voted out the first time.
No. I gave you two picks. That didn't mean they come in the same night.
Oh, my God, I wish it would have been the other way because they both got, they chapped me so bad. They just chapped. I'm not going to say the word, but they chapped me. So, yeah, they are disgusting. That Brandon or Brandon.
Yeah, they both suck.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and the Reggie, the thing we've talked about, Brandon, is it is legit. He is a super fan. There's no doubt. He's played Survivor games online. He's gone to Survivor parties. He's gone to events and stuff for Survivor. He is a true Survivor fan. But he shows up. I've seen pictures of him doing those things, and he was in really, really good shape.
Well, he sucks now.
Short hair. And he shows up on Survivor with long hair in the worst condition of his life.
Yeah, he sucks. There's no doubt about it. He sucks.
Well, how can you be a super fan and show up like that, Reggie?
I think he thinks he's already won it. He doesn't have to do anything.
No,
yeah.
He wasn't. He didn't have that. I don't think that's
no,
what it was.
No,
I think
Reggie kind of went into it with a lot of anxiety. He started not even to go. He asked his mom, like Melissa brought up earlier, he asked his mom, would you be mad if I didn't get on the plane? And she said, no, you'd be mad at yourself. So he was already doubting himself before he left. He was even doubting himself before he left the United States.
Well, those two should have just backed off and let the alternates go, because that goober, the one that got, you know, begged to be voted off, Sarah was her name. Is that her name?
Hannah.
Oh, my God.
Hannah, Coca-Bana, Hannah. Never mind.
She can go have a banana. I don't care. Okay.
Hannah.
Sucks a banana. Anyway, so there is hundreds of applicants that
no,
would have...
No, you're... Reggie, I have to stop you right there. I have to stop
you. Okay.
You're absolutely wrong. There are thousands.
Tens of thousands.
That would have rather been there in her place. And she just whiny-diny, and, you know, the little princess is out in the elements. It's like a little child that got caught in the rain and just stood there whining and crying because mommy didn't bring the umbrella fast enough. Ah.
I mentioned earlier a couple of people from Whispers who have applied that have contacted me in the last day or two asking about information I have for one reason or another. I can guarantee you both of them would have been better picks. Denise and Sophie would have been better picks, and Carrie, who I've worked with, would have been a better pick. Kelly, who I've worked with, would have been a better pick. Jason, who I've worked with, would have been a better pick. All kinds of better choices than somebody that's just going to quit in 3 days.
And the thing
that got me, Reggie, was she was kind of blatant about it. She said, "Yeah, I want the hotel. I want the food."
Her little princess. That's all she thinks she is. Well, I could tell her one thing. It's always all about Reggie. So she can just go back to, you know, go back to her whatever. Ugh, I do not like her. So anyway.
She didn't make an impression on me either way until she quit, and then I was done with her. I was like,
I won't even read her exit interviews. Nope.
Like I said earlier, if you know, back when it was 39 days, if you survived 30, 31, 32, 33 days, and you were just damn near out of it and can't take no more and quit,
I got a little sympathy for you. I ain't got no sympathy for somebody that's going to quit after 3 days.
No, absolutely not. So who do you think?
And there's been
a lot of talk online,
and the basic thought is you took somebody's spot that wanted to play this game.
True. So who's going to win? You can just DM me that, okay?
Did you not hear the names I gave out?
No.
I gave out six names to watch. Five of them were females.
Oh, yeah, Kelly, Cassandra, that other one, Katura.
D. Julie. Emily. The one guy was Jake.
Well, Emily right now, she can be off of my radar. Every time she comes on my TV, I'm muting her. Oh, God, she just makes me want to barf in a bag.
I know, but don't you know as far as running a show, they know
that. She's gold.
And they're gonna put her on there. They're going to put her on there so fans see her and talk about her.
Yeah, she's gold. I got that, but I can mute it too. As golden as I don't care what I miss with her.
What's the old saying, Steve? And I use this to my advantage sometimes early on in Whispers games, before fans actually started loving me as a villain. What's the saying? To have a villain, you got to have a hero.
Oh, I'm a hero.
Right.
So if she's going to be the villain, we got to have a hero.
Ugh.
Yeah, it makes you wonder though. Because obviously they still have to set it up. So you know, it's with the new way of editing that they're going through with Survivor, you know, it does make you wonder. Obviously, you know, somebody like Emily is off to the start that she's on, but you know, it's like we discussed earlier, could she be, you know, could this be like another Gabler type edit where they start off so incredibly well? Actually, no, I don't think Gabler even started off negative.
No, he did not. But I remember he didn't.
I think the comparison with Gabler is his edit was one of there ain't no way in hell this guy's going to win. And I think that's the edit with Emily right now, is everyone's looking at her and saying, hey, no damn way this girl's going to win.
If she wins, I'm going to tell you this all right now. I quit watching because her mouth is irritating. Ugh, I cannot. I just. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Please tell me that is not what you
meant. Don't worry. Don't worry. She's not one of the ones that he said to watch.
Woo.
He gave us six names, and Emily wasn't one of them.
Hey, Steve, that's me going eight innings. Steve, that's me going eight innings and Melissa coming in to save it.
There you go. Well, thank you, Melissa.
I'm thinking, wait, when did you say that? When did you say that was one to watch? Because I've got it right here, and she wasn't one of them.
Yeah, I had to say it twice for her, Reggie, so she could write it down.
Good.
But, Steve, that was it. I went eight innings and got the win, and Melissa saved it.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, I don't think anybody with the type of edit that Emily is starting off with, she's basically getting the sole you know, solely a character type edit. She's not getting an edit where, you know, you can really even take her seriously as a finalist or as a potential winner. She's basically just getting that big bad villain edit obviously won't make the finals.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, the only question is, how big of an arc does she have on her story? You know, because it could very well easily end next week. But
that would be fun.
Obviously that just seems like too much of a red herring. It seems like too much of a red herring.
Here's the other thing about it nobody's talking about. Pretty much obvious that Lulu, the Yellow Tribe, gets decimated. Going to be one of the worst tribes ever in the history of the game. So when we go to the merge and we start really playing the individual game and you get to the final three, even if Emily somehow got there, where the fuck does she get votes from? She ain't gonna have no Lulu there. They already gone. They packed up and left because they was pre-merge.
Yeah.
And even her own tribe. I don't even think her own tribe likes her.
Well, you know, Jim, she does have the holier than thou attitude, sort of like Russell. Like, she considers herself to be a queen and everybody else are her peasants. Because of how intellectually lower they are compared to her.
Exactly. Good point.
All right.
I mean, to me, it just seems like she's probably the pre-merge villain that, you know, if anything, she could potentially be the merge boot, but yet doesn't make jury because she has her story will be very heavy. Well, it just seems like her story will be very pre-merge heavy. So it's, you know, I would find it really hard to connect her so far to anybody on any of the other tribes.
All right. What I was going to say is, you mentioned the word merge. So I was just going to bring up, and I think I brought this up earlier, there is going to be a merge twist. To where you have to actually win your way to merge.
Oh, what? So they're continuing what they did last season, I think.
Yeah, you got to win your way. You got to win your way to merge. And I'll say it like we do in whispers. So I just told you who wins. And this season, you know how they do that damn shot in the dark crap?
Yeah.
I got to look at my notes, but I'm pretty sure somebody told me that it works for somebody. It works for somebody. Pays off.
Well, that's another thing I couldn't believe. I couldn't believe that Brandon was already talking about using his shot in the dark openly.
Let me ask you, Steve. Everybody else, listen. Has that ever worked before?
Yes.
Going out in the open? No.
Because that's what I was told. I was told it was the first time it ever worked.
Mm-mm. No, it worked last season.
Like actually playing the shot in the dark worked last season, but I thought you were talking about, like, has somebody ever openly gone out in the open, say they're using their shot in the dark before they even go to tribal?
What happened?
And then they ultimately end up succeeding. But, I believe Melissa is
All I know is I was told the first time the shot in the dark worked, and I thought it worked before, so maybe it works in a different way. I don't know.
Yeah, hang on. Let me double check. Wait a minute, did
I don't know.
It was one of the girls.
I thought for sure it had worked before, but when they said it worked for the first time, I thought, well, it must be some kind of different way or something, and I didn't pursue it. I should have asked more questions, but.
Man, I'm trying to look right now.
I made notes and I put that on my notes. Let me look.
Jamie played her shot in the dark episode 1 and it succeeded.
I'm gonna read through my notes. If I can pull it up. Survivor 45 and 46, because I already got shit on 46. Where is, all right, 45 and 46. All right, here we go. Looking at notes. God wins the music challenge can send one of their own tribe members to lose. Okay. I already told you about
Jamie
that.
Lynn Ruiz. Jamie Lynn.
By process of elimination, the first 3 boots have to be from yellow. Yeah. Okay. I don't like that.
Yeah, Jim, it was used successfully episode 1 last season.
All right, I'm seeing if I can find where I kept that on notes. All right, season will have a female winner. So-and-so is 3rd place, no votes. So-and-so is early boot with him 2nd. Season's got 2 quits, one of them being in the 1st episode. No medevacs. There is a successful use of... No, it wasn't a rock. Here we go. There's a successful use of shot in the dark.
Okay, so that would be the 2nd straight season that the shot in the dark is successful because it was successful last season.
Okay. All right.
So maybe that starts to strengthen
my notes. I mean, I'm sitting there reading you guys my notes.
Melissa's
probably writing them down as soon as I say them. See, Melissa
no.
will be on the playback tomorrow writing this down.
You know, maybe that strengthens the argument that they give to actually keep the shot in the dark twist around, because now it's actually been successful 2 consecutive seasons, whereas the first 3 seasons it was around, it either was barely used or every time it was used, it always failed.
Oh, it's on 46. It's on 46 too. It's back for season 46.
I kind of figured it probably would, because that seems to be one of the new staples of new era Survivor now, as opposed to like drawing rocks or somebody playing an immunity idol. That's basically shot in the dark is now considered a staple of the new era. Which, I mean, in my opinion, you know, it's failed more than it succeeded.
Do you guys hear that when I do a text?
No, I didn't.
I can hear something in the background.
I don't know how.
I can hear like a TV show or something.
I just muted it. Never mind. Carry on.
Somebody talking.
I'm on headphones on a phone. Oh. I don't know how you could hear anything.
It can't be me.
It was me. Because I was saying I was answering a text. And I can hear the tick, 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 tick when you hit a letter.
That's because I'm watching the challenge, and I didn't remember it was on.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you couldn't hear me texting. That's all I was asking. I mean, it's stupid. It's really stupid that you're texting somebody that's like 40 feet away from you. But
we do it here too.
It might be better that they do that and don't call. I don't know.
Or just boost
what
in
do you
and
think,
say,
Steve?
Dad!
Is it better? Steve, what do you think? It's better texting or they call?
I mean, it's not really much of a difference to me. I mean, either one, I'll answer.
Yeah. Steve is like, this is your issue. Anyway, let's look.
Jim,
ahead.
By the way, good news, by the way, Jim. 5.1 million viewers for the premiere last night.
Oh, damn. I thought you were going to say about the podcast tonight. That would have been good. That is good. I mean, I think a lot of it, Steve, was because it was 90 minutes.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
A lot of people tuned in. A lot of old fans tuned in that may have left to see what they were doing different with 90 minutes.
Yeah, and they're up 6% compared to last season's premiere.
Okay.
Yeah, they
that's
got
good.
A lot more
that's
commercials
good.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah
that's
they
good. Is. And I thought Probst was at his best. I thought he had a great episode. He was right on top of everything. He's still the best in the business at what he does. And I know if he heard me say that, he wouldn't believe it, but I honestly believe that. So I thought he did a great job. And we'll see. We'll see moving forward as far as what casting did with Jesse, because there's probably going to be some folks that you're going to end up really, really, really liking and getting behind, unless you're a male chauvinist. So.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you guys want to do tonight? You want to make your top three picks tonight, or you want to wait another week till we get a few more callers? What do y'all want to do? I mean, if you make your pick tonight, we get a few more callers next week, then they get an extra week to see. How do you think we should handle this?
I think like we should wait the extra week.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Wait another week?
Yep. Or...
Yeah, I'd say wait another week too.
Okay, well, I already gave you one of them. I already gave you one final three tonight.
Yeah, because I think...
Emily?
Somebody who goes
deep.
Yeah, Emily.
No.
Who said deep?
Not me, I just said...
You know, Jim. Tom Brady to Randy Moss.
Yeah, yeah. Just go deep.
Melissa was right. It was Jake.
Here's the bad thing about it. Brady tells Moss, just go. Deep! And Moss goes deep and catches it up to one, but he can't get in the end zone for the touchdown. He got shut out.
And yep. Give it to somebody so unfortunate.
Else. Yep. But he went
so unfortunate.
Deep! And you know, when this season's over with, if it turns out like I think it's turning out, Melissa going to tell people, damn, how many times he tell you he went deep?
He told me he went deep.
I just don't want to believe it because I don't really like him that much.
Who was it?
Well,
oh,
when you
Eliza.
Think about it, it kind of makes sense.
I was trying
it
to think
of
Eliza
sense,
I talked. Eliza I talked to today. She's got another guy that let me look up her messages. Another guy that she really likes. She likes Brandon. She likes Brandon. I've told her get the hell off that shit.
Oh,
I mean,
well.
They had a picture made together. He was super fan, met her at some kind of event or something. She can't believe he leaves so soon. Let me see who it was. She said a female. She likes Keturah about Jake. When I told her, was Jake finished? Thing she said was, he gets no votes.
You
That's
know,
what she
Jim,
said
it
about
makes,
Jake.
It kind of makes sense, Jim, because last night they set up him being a lawyer and Keturah also being a lawyer. So it kind of feels like that.
But Keturah playing it smarter.
Yeah, it basically seems like those two, like they're setting up the edit to where those two are basically going to butt heads all season long. And it makes me think that's where it'll all ultimately all come to a head.
Well, I mean, what if the three of you get to the I mean, what if the two of you get to the final three?
You got two of you sitting up there, and one of you say, I told you the truth all season. I told you I was a lawyer. I didn't lie to you. You need to vote for me. And the girl says, yeah, I'm a lawyer. I played the fucking game, and I didn't think you needed to hear that shit from me, so I hid it. So give me your vote. Who are you voting for? I'm voting for her.
I'm giving it to the lawyer.
Yeah, I'm voting for her. She was playing the game. What do you think, Melissa? You voting for somebody that lied to you because they thought it would hurt them? Or are you going to vote for somebody that told you the truth because they just didn't care what you thought and they wanted you to believe
them? Well, I would vote for the one that was playing the game.
Okay. Well, if you're lying about your vocation and you made it all the way through that far, you're playing the game.
Yep. Right.
So.
Yep.
I mean, if I went, would I tell anybody what I own? Hell no. I'd act like I work at Walmart. And there could be some truth to that because self-checkout, I work at Walmart. I check my own shit out.
and you pay full price. You don't even get a discount. And you've got to get it yourself.
And I still had to bag it up.
Well, Jim, you could just say that you're a greeter. You could just say you're a greeter at Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Get your shit and get out.
Yeah, I'm not that old yet though, because all the greeters I've seen, half of them need a cane to walk around with. And I'm not knocking that. I'm glad they got those jobs. I really am. I like Walmart for that they're giving people like that a chance to make some money. But, they ain't going to greet me in no damn Walmart. They don't want to see me coming in. they go look at me and say, What are you after? What you trying to do?
Are you trying to steal something?
Yeah. What are you up to? What are you up to? You setting me up? All right, Steve. Take over about 5 minutes. I'm gonna take a quick break.
All righty. So, ultimately, you know, we see what the audience has thought about, you know, 90 minutes, 5.1 million viewers. Obviously, you know, like we discussed on Monday night, that there's a whole bunch of different ways that they can potentially take this when it comes to 90-minute episodes, as far as like what they would show, you know, whether it would just be filler or if it would be, you know, if it would be anything of substance. Let's go to you first, Reggie. What did you think ultimately? I mean, I know you said you hated you know, the fact that it's 90 minutes, but do you think that they actually provided enough for them to warrant leaving Survivor at 90 minutes?
No, I think they stretched it out and they had a lot of filler content. It wasn't like boom, boom, and boom. I expected the 90 minutes for them to get in there, do some challenges, have tribal, and then start in and do other stuff, like, you know, like half of a new show. And I just didn't feel I got that last night.
Well, I don't know. To me, it seemed like they kind of set up what they're going to potentially do for these next, you know, for these episodes moving forward, with it being 90 minutes, considering the fact that they introduced the new idol rules, that the Beware Advantage has to be done in steps now, as opposed to just doing one thing and being done. You know, now they have to do it in steps. And one of them, the first one, involves decoding the message that's on the tribe's flag. which I assume this will also be the same thing.
I thought that was a neat idea.
Yeah, right? It's something that honestly hasn't really been done before in Survivor when it comes to adding more layers for
something a whole lot different.
When it comes to adding more layers for actually getting an active immunity idol. So, and I don't know, Melissa, what did you think about the new immunity idol rules that they introduced with them basically putting in different things, like first you have to decode in front of, at the risk of doing it in front of everybody, you have to decode the code that's on your tribe flag.
Well, I thought it was okay. I thought it was good. Now, that was a beware. It was a beware thing. Not necessarily, he will get an immunity idol if he can do it. I think it's going to be different than regular immunity idols, though. The way that they made it sound, however, was that to get an immunity idol, you may have to be in pairs. You may have to have somebody help you. So I'm guessing that it's going to be like high or something to that nature. But what he found was beware.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you know, it's not just going to be for the idols. It'll be for different things like the beware advantage and whatnot. So maybe I misspoke that it's not necessarily just for the idols or just for the, you know, beware advantages. That it could be that they're doing the same thing for essentially everything that they're introducing in order to sort of fill a little bit of time, so to speak.
Yeah.
While also
keep in mind, though, that was just the first thing he was going to have to do. He said your first task.
Right.
So he may need to do more in order to get it. But we haven't seen that yet.
Here's one question I have, and that is the beware. It said, do you want, you know, if you open it, then you have to go and, you know, do everything. If you don't open it, what do you do? Are you supposed to put it back in its original spot? Or do you hide it where you want to, you know, in a spot similar to where the beware advantage was placed in the first time?
I believe you are supposed to put it back where it was.
Okay.
Yeah. And the thing is Austin had said, I believe he said it in his interview, when they asked him, if you get like the beware advantage, do you do it or take it or whatever, or do you lead somebody else to do it? I think Austin was one that said he wanted somebody else to do it, but then he changed his mind, I guess, when he found it and said, oh, what the heck. He just didn't want Saifu to find it.
Well, you know what? Let's get the thoughts of Tim Gross, our resident Survivor expert, who is now joining in. Tim, what are your thoughts on the introduction of the new Idols / Beware Advantage twist that they've made? Or that they've changed, I should say.
It kind of seems like they're going for it being harder to get, which I like. I feel like they've been handing out idols and stuff like their candy recently, so the harder they are to get, the better.
And ultimately, what do you, I mean, obviously you've been listening all night and we've talked up quite a bit about last night's show. Give us your thoughts on everything we saw last night. What did you think about, you know, about each tribe as a whole? What did you think about Hannah basically disrespecting every single Survivor contestant that has ever played to go out there and basically decide, nah, I'm just going to quit after 3 days?
That premiere was going really good, and then the quit happened. Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You come all the way out here, go through all that, the whole entire process, and then you fucking quit 3 days in. What the hell?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Now I got to touch on Brandon, because, like, I think he had pretty much the worst premiere I've ever seen from anybody. So I got to be honest, when he had that panic attack, I felt really bad for him because I get those myself, and those are not fun. They are not fun.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But I think it was brought on because he knew he couldn't do it. And he was thinking, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, now what do I do, you know? And got himself over the gut.
It's possible that brought it on, but either way, I just felt bad for him in the moment. Overall, though, he was a huge, huge flop in the premiere.
Yep. He sure was.
Yeah. And I can't tell him like that tribe just looks like an absolute disaster. And like I can't tell if Emily's being like actually serious with her whole attitude or if she's just going for camera time.
I think she's serious.
Hang on, who has the echo going on in the background?
I have absolutely no clue.
Is that you, Reggie?
Nope, my TV's off. The air conditioner just kicked on.
Because it sounds like somebody's listening to one of us has the podcast on, I think. And for some reason it's echoing back.
Nope, I'm just on my phone.
Yep, it's not me.
But I'm sorry, Tim. Continue.
Outside of that, I'm trying to figure out in my mind who the strongest tribe is between blue and red, and I'm not really sure if I can pick one right now.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
Tim.
Yeah.
Got one word for you.
Yeah.
Blue.
Yeah, I think I was hearing earlier that a lot of them make it far, so it's like that makes sense. Yeah, it was like, ugh.
You know, this brings up a question that I don't think we've ever talked about. How do they select tribes? How do they split them up when they look at who they have? How they split? How the hell? And my tweet last night was
whoever picked yellow had the last pick in the draft. I mean, how do they pick these tribes? How do you pick them and try to balance them, and yet you have Lulu with who they have?
Right.
I mean, Tim, that's like me and you and Kip and Steve picking. We're picking baseball teams.
Yep.
You picked the Orioles. You picked the Orioles. I picked the Athletics. And Steve picked the Twins. Well, both y'all got a chance, and I'm sitting here with Lulu.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how you look. I mean, look at the players. Look at the players on the tribe. And do this, Melissa. Look at the six on each tribe. How can you look at Lulu and think they had a chance?
For real.
Well, one would think, I don't know.
Melissa, do you think the biggest mistake was thinking Brandon was more than what he was?
I didn't think he was more than what he was. I didn't. To look at the tribe, just look at him. Brandon stood out like a sore thumb because of his weight. Okay? And the rest of them look fairly decent as far as being fit. You would think that they would do pretty well in the challenges. And they all did do pretty well in the challenges except for Brandon. But once Brandon's gone, who are they going to blame? Who's the one that's going to stand out like a sore thumb after Brandon leaves?
We go marching through the sea. We go marching through the sea.
You know, I just think it's abundantly clear that normally Survivor, they try to balance it out as much as they can, but I mean, I'm kind of wondering if Brandon sold them a false bag of goods when he was auditioning.
Well, I mean, there are people. Look, I've been in the business world for years, interviewed, I can't tell you how many people, how many potential managers that you're going to give keys to the store. And some of them are really, really great in interviews. And then they really ain't that good when they start working.
Right.
I mean, Steve, haven't we gone through that in whispers with moderators? I mean, we have people we think is going to be really, really good. And then it's like, well, they're not really turning out.
Yeah. I mean, you get that anywhere, whether it's at a job or...
Yeah, I mean, that's anywhere. That's even if you're working the fries at McDonald's. There's somebody that's really good at that, and if they're off that day and there's somebody else the next day and they just ain't done it before, they might burn your damn fries and they'd be too crispy. I mean, that's just life. That's how it is.
Right.
So.
I mean, that's that's pretty much that's pretty much how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, either,
essentially.
Reggie, either you get good fries or burnt fries.
Well, if you're like me, you don't eat them, so I don't get them.
I know. I'm still trying to figure out in band camp what the hell you eat.
I can tell you really. I eat a baked Lay's potato chips in the morning with Sandwich Brothers, half of a pita pocket thing with egg whites and cheese. Then at lunch, I have a lettuce salad with a half a cup of cheese and a tomatoes with lemon juice.
Wait. Stop right there. Nothing but lettuce?
No, I said a half a cup of cheese and tomatoes with lemon juice.
I could do that. What
the
else?
Evening, that's it. That's all I have for lunch. And in the evening, I have a Lunchable turkey and something sweet, like maybe a fun-sized candy bar or two. And that's all.
Okay. Okay, so you buy a lunch. Do you buy one of the big Lunchables that's got the little drink with it?
Oh, no. I just get the ones like at Walmart for a dollar. I don't buy the real Lunchable, the brand name. I buy the off the $1.26.
Okay.
No, I don't want that.
Oh my God.
Juice. No, but that's what I eat every
and
day.
You just eat one.
Yes. 200 calories.
Steve, you know somebody that eats those, and they eat three.
Whoa, that's a lot. But then
and
every once
like
in a while, I will go out to eat, and I'll eat like Chinese food or something like that, but only shrimp.
They can eat. You like, whoa, back up. You like shrimp?
Yes.
Okay.
And crab.
I can't stand shrimp.
Hello. We are friends, right?
But Reggie, I get huge compliments when I grill shrimp on the grill
with
barbecue sauce and lemon juice. Everyone says, oh, my God, this shrimp is so good.
I don't.
You must love it. And I'm like, I don't even eat shrimp. This is just how I cook it.
Well, you just cook mine with lemon juice. Leave that barbecue crappy stuff off. No, that's all
okay.
I eat.
No,
I said I like the cookies, and I said I liked that caramel marshmallow thing.
That was marshmallow. Yeah.
No, but that's caramel.
Yeah, I kind of think that would be tasty too. See, I try to come up with these new things just to get ideas. But I kind of like that too. And you know, normally with marshmallows, what you do, you do it over a fire and melt them and have them with graham crackers and chocolate.
And it's called
s'mores.
Yeah, I don't like them. I'm gonna go to the grocery.
But I love caramel. I love caramel.
That's my favorite food. I will eat by the spoonfuls out of the fridge.
So if I go to the fair, we've got a fair in town right now. Supposed to open tomorrow. I posted some pictures of it last night while they were constructing it in fan camp. But so if I go to the fair this weekend and have a caramel apple, Reggie would say, yes, I'll eat that.
I'll eat the caramel, not the apple.
Oh, my God. You're impossible. I could never be married to you.
I didn't think it was possible, but I thought it.
Jim, I think that this would be called bigamy.
How do you eat the caramel and you don't eat the apple?
Because you take a fork or a spoon or something and scrape it off.
You don't like apples.
No. I don't eat any fruit.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right.
Okay, and on that happy
okay,
note,
Steve.
I will
Steve,
talk to
get
y'all.
Us back on Survivor.
Okay, good night, Reggie.
On Survivor. I'm leaving the fairgrounds. Get us back on Survivor. Ain't no telling how much money I'm going to have to spend at that damn fairground this week on rides and food and winning damn teddy bears and shit for the kids, which I will do. I will win them. But I almost wish we didn't have it this year. We didn't have it last year.
Well, you know, Jim, our area has the last, it's the last weekend, actually, of the big fair that we have. And thank God, because traffic on the weekends, especially, traffic is an absolute bitch to try and navigate around here. So luckily, our fair is coming to an end this upcoming weekend.
I wish ours was. I don't know what's going to happen with ours. All I know is the only reason I want to go out there and look around is to taste the food, eat the food. But I know I'm going to get reeled in on kids' rides and the damn games trying to win freaking stuffed animals. And then he got Demolition Derby on Friday and Saturday night, which I will not go to. Been there, done that. Too damn hot, too damn many people in there. They seat too many people that holds the stands. I ain't going in there. So, but that's the county fair.
Too damn dirty, too.
Huh?
It's too damn
what,
dirty,
JB?
Too. It's too damn dirty, too.
Yeah. So, but let's get back on Survivor. Kim, we got everybody's thoughts about the premiere. We got everybody's thoughts. I want to get your thoughts as far as tribe by tribe, player by player, who stands out, who ain't got a damn chance, what you thought about the 90 minutes. Give me your thoughts about the premiere.
Oh, God. That was going so good up until the quit. Why did you have to quit? Once you saw Hannah start struggling on the beach after the immunity challenge, she's like, oh, Jesus. This is going to happen, isn't it? Well, that yellow tribe is a disaster anyway. I don't think she would have lasted very long. The one thing I would be interested to see is who would have actually gone should they have voted.
Well, according, I will tell you this, Tim, according to Hannah's interview today, it would have been Emily.
Interesting. That makes sense based on the edit. And I did listen to Jeff's podcast, so I heard him mention the twist that wasn't in there in the episode.
I told a couple of survivors about. I don't think I said it on the pod last week. I don't think I posted it, but I told a couple of survivors, and they were like, one of them told me, you're vindicated. You told me.
But yeah, the other thing I found interesting too is about Jeff's podcast was the way he shaded Adam Klein on it. He threw pretty massive shade at Adam on it. It was over the casting coach business Adam runs. Anyway, back to the episode. I would be really damn surprised if Brandon lasts long. And I know you said he doesn't, but it's like
he's a dead man walking.
Yeah, I almost thought for a second that he actually might be the second quit because there was the one part, if I'm not mistaken, where they were like, him and Hannah were like going back and forth, no, I should be voted out. It was like, wait, what the hell is that?
Yeah, and the thing about that, Tim, is when we get to episode two, we're talking about another 2 or 3 days down the line. So after she did it, and he suffers another couple of 2 or 3 days, maybe he'll do it too?
Maybe. The only thing that gives me pause is just how big of a fan of the show he was going beforehand. I was like...
Correct.
I don't know.
Correct. Somebody else brought that up.
So that's the only thing that's making me think it's not him who's the second quitter.
Yeah. Okay. So who do you like? I mean, who can go far?
So, unfortunately, Brandon being from the Philly area, I kind of feel obligated to root for him.
For who?
Outside of, I actually also apparently have a couple of mutual friends with Brandon from my time working at the Phillies. So there's that too.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sorry about your damn luck.
Yeah, the Philly area people don't have the greatest track record. At least they haven't since Wendell, anyway.
Okay.
Outside of that,
let's get your thoughts. Don't worry about who you friends with, and what are your thoughts on who Mike could do pretty good.
Okay, so who I think Kelly's going to go far. I obviously said Jake I thought was going to go pretty far on the last podcast, and I'm sticking with that. I'm trying to look at other tribes too. Honestly, one of the biggest question. I kind of feel like Austin can make a decent run, but I'm not really sure where he's going to end up. I feel like he's going to be on the jury.
Okay, Melissa loves you.
Yeah, I really like Austin too, Tim.
Yeah, outside of that, I think it's too soon to really form opinions on a lot of people, though I really didn't. I was not a fan of Emily at all.
No, me neither.
Okay. And you just made a very good point, Tim. Very good point.
Yeah.
We're sitting here talking about who's going, how far, how they're going to do, who's leaving so quick because they suck. And we've only seen one episode. So that's a very good point, Tim. Very good point.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
no matter what I say, I mean, I've said it for, shit, I don't know how many years I've been doing this. You don't see it till it happens.
Yeah.
So if I tell you it's going to happen, yeah, you know, you might believe it 90, 95%, but there's still 4 or 5% chance it's wrong. You don't know it till you see it. You got to see it.
Exactly. And you know what? One other thought I had. Bruce was reminding me of Russell Swan, Russell's second time around with the way he was last episode.
Tim, I made the comment tonight. They're making him out to be a clown.
Yeah, they are. Because it was like, Bruce, I'm not going to be the leader. Also, Bruce starts giving people advice right away.
And he's the one that visits Lulu next week. So that should be good with him and Emily.
Yeah, that should be pretty good.
And we're not going to talk about this. We're not going to get into a big conversation about this. But, Tim, I would just say in the National League, it's going to come down to the Braves and the Phillies.
And I think we can take them. I think we can.
Okay. All right.
I don't.
Back to Jay. Go ahead. Okay. JB, back to you.
Yeah, you gotta add the Reds in there as a they might sneak in there.
Yeah, I think they're out of it.
And if they sneak in there, they're going to kick some points.
I will tell you this, JB. I like the way the Reds have done what they've done, bringing up all this young talent. They're kind of like the National League's version of the Baltimore Orioles in the American League.
Yep.
And I like seeing teams do it that way. I do.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think Cincinnati will be there this year, but this year I think will be there next year, but I think they're going to fall just short this year.
Yeah, I do too. I think they'll make it, but coming against the Braves, I think the Braves are going to take it all, really.
I do, too. I just think they're too much. And Steve can verify this. I've been telling Steve the last two or three seasons, the Braves had the best GM in baseball.
Yep, Alex Anthopoulos. Originally, Toronto had him, and they said, "No, fuck you! You're not doing the job. We're bringing in somebody else."
He's the best in the business. He knows talent, and if they're young at a good age, he locks them up. And then at the deadline, there's nobody better. If he needs a pitcher or a hitter from the left or right side, he goes and gets them. They ain't nobody but and they still have a strong minor league. The guy, he's awesome. I mean, he's awesome. I mean, it ain't like – and Steve, Tim, I ain't picking on you because we had him. We know how he operates. It ain't like Dombrowski who says, open the damn door. Who you want in the minor leagues to give me what I want? And we'll trade anybody. Don't give a shit. He wants to win this season.
Yeah.
And he may win. He may win one. But what's it cost you 4 or 5 years from now? And then you got the other side of the coin where you got freaking Chain Bloom, whatever his freaking name was with Boston, that won't do crap.
We don't say his name around here anymore.
He wants to build and build and build the minor leagues, and he does a good job with that, but he won't never call them up, let them play.
No, he wants to walk around like he has big balls. Look at my prospects.
Yeah, he walks around like that. Look, hey. Look what I got coming. Fans don't want to hear that shit. They want to win this season. They want to win right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
One thing I got to give Dombrowski credit for this year was not really making any moves at the deadline and just hoping his guys would pan out.
Well, they got a good team. I mean,
yeah.
Look at them last season. They got a good team.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, the biggest thing I think that's going to hurt the Braves is how early they clinched. Because it can be hard. Because like when you've been like,
I know you're a Philly fan. You're optimistic. I don't think. And Steve, you can throw your comment in. I don't think shit gonna hurt Atlanta. I think they're gonna cruise through all this shit. They're gonna win it all real quick. Baltimore may win a game, but Atlanta finna dominate.
Yeah, I hate to tell you, Tim, but Atlanta only loses to horrible teams like Boston.
Yeah, that's us.
Well, my thing is why we can. I think we can get them because one, it's a shorter series, and anything can happen in a shorter series, really. And the other thing is, like, I feel like they might have clinched too early because, like, when you're, you know, not playing meaningful games for that long, and then you had the long layoff the Braves are gonna have. It could be hard to ramp up, you know.
I don't know about that team. They ramp up real easy.
I mean, there is a reason why all of their offensive and defensive categories are within the top five in the league.
Yeah. But as we've seen before, it's not
I mean, they broke all-time records.
Yeah, as we've seen before, though,
or
it's not always
do
the
what?
Best that makes it.
Or in one guy's case, set a record.
Yeah,
I'll eat some.
Acuna was
always fix it.
If Acuna does not run away with the MVP this year, something's wrong with the voters.
I mean, 40
right, let's look
homers
at next
and
week.
70 steals.
Let's look at next week. Survivor, Melissa. Is it Brandon? Is he next?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right, let's go to plan B. Let's go to plan B. If not, and somehow it's not him. Who is it?
Emily.
Yeah.
Okay. Reggie, what do you think? Is Brandon
He's
next
gone, hon.
Or plan B at somebody else?
Reggie's
gone on one, hon.
Oh.
She hung up after you made fun of her.
Made fun of, I didn't make fun of her.
No.
May have teased around with her, but I didn't make fun of her.
No, she usually
she
leaves about that time anyway.
She said she had to go anyway.
I didn't make fun of her. I don't do
well,
that.
You teased her.
I may tease with you, but I don't make fun of you.
Yeah.
JB.
Yo.
Go ahead, Melissa. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, it's either going to be Brandon or Emily, I think.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good.
All right. JB, what do you think? Is Brandon done next week, or could it be somebody else?
Yeah, I think Brandon's done next week. Even he's, you know, even just looking at his he's almost got like, how can you say it? It's just
yeah, put peppers on.
It's,
It's just the way that his hair is. It almost looks like there's spiders in it or something like that.
JB, do you think with him being a super fan, he went out there just trying to be a character, looking like he did?
I do. I was really surprised. I think when you told me Monday that he was a super fan and I saw him for the first time, and I thought, why wasn't he dressed nicer? And it's like, well, you know, maybe that's just the way that, you know, he dresses. And,
well,
you know,
I'll tell you part of that. The show tells you what to wear.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that on Twitter last night, how it was kind of color coordinated, if you look on the tribes. On the Bello tribe, the blue tribe, shit, all you saw was blue. People wearing blue. So, if it's not him, JB, who's in trouble?
I think it would be Emily.
Okay.
I think, for me, I think it'll either be Caleb or Sean that they would want to keep, and he might last maybe the first or he might be the first or second boot for the after they merge.
Okay. Steve, what do you think? Is it Brandon? And if not, who else is likely?
Well, I think it's most definitely Brandon, because otherwise it can't be. I feel that it can't be Emily, because there's no way that they would give her such a big premiere like they did, full of content, and only for her to then go out the next week. You know, it seems like part of her edit is about getting one of Caleb or Sabia out. So now I'm kind of wondering if maybe perhaps she is responsible for one of their boots, and then she ends up following shortly after.
Well, you know, maybe with Sabia, or how you say your name, and the experience she had and how pissed off she is about it. Maybe Emily flipped it around and got rid of her.
Yeah, that could be quite possible. Matter of fact, I believe she was the target of Emily for the most part last night as well.
So, got about 20 minutes left, folks. Want to bring up a question you want to ask me? Throw it out there. I've been asked a lot of questions today from a lot of people, mostly ex-survivors wanting to know stuff. So if you want to know something, throw it out there. If you want to bring up something, throw it out there.
Yeah. At this point, the only thing I really would have a question about is, like, there's a second quitter. Who is it?
Melissa's trying to figure that out too. Yeah, there is a second quitter. I brought this up. Do you think Brandon would actually quit? Could we have back-to-back quitters? Or do you think it's somebody else that maybe has something come up?
It's tough because I feel like Brandon, being such a super fan, that super fan in him would not allow him to quit, but you never know. And I was like, I did mention earlier, I thought it might be him, and that was keeping me from not thinking it was him was the fact that he's such a super fan.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else thoughts about that second quitter? I know Melissa's got thoughts.
Well, I don't know, because it seemed to me like you said on Monday something about the second quitter being far down the line is the impression I got. And that's why I asked you if Jake did.
But
I don't know.
Who have you seen so far? Just stop and think about that. Who have you seen so far that could either get so down and low or so pissed off and mad that they could quit?
Well, you're just giving a bunch of riddles, and I'm just not – I'm not there, Jim.
Okay. All right.
You know, I am.
That's what I do. I know I am.
Come to think of it, Emily fits that role.
She does.
You think Emily would quit?
Emily fits that role. If things don't go her way.
Oh, against Zabaya?
Yeah, like if things don't go her way, you know, she even said that if I'm not going to win, I'd rather just be voted out. You know, she does seem like the type of person that if things don't go her way, if the queen doesn't get what she wants, then she'll just quit.
And she was getting really negative at it, too.
Yeah, that was really bad at it. But good for TV. You got to think of it. It's a TV show, so it was good for TV.
Exactly.
I mean, we always say it. I said it earlier tonight. To have a villain, you got a hero. So if Emily's going to be the villain, figure out who's going to be the hero.
It would have to be either Sabia or Caleb, if not both. Or Bruce.
Or maybe, yeah.
Bruce likes a clown.
All right. All right, we got about 15 minutes left. Anybody got questions? Want to bring up another topic, another thought about the show last night or what's coming up next week? 15 minutes.
I'm looking forward to seeing the opening credits sequence back next week.
Yeah, I like that. That'll be neat. That'll be real neat.
Yeah.
We have needed that back for quite a while.
Yeah, we really have. But
well, let's hope they fulfill that promise instead of making an empty promise like they have in the past.
Yeah. Well, at least we know they've got it filmed. So if they don't do it, they really pissing people off.
Yep. Very true, because you saw how excited the players were about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the fans, too.
Yep.
I mean, that was like a staple. That was like a staple to the show. You always got that.
Yeah, and I think somebody brought it up on the chat last night, too.
Good have. So, yeah.
No, I got about 10 minutes left. All right.
Melissa, I got a question for you. When is Big Brother over so we don't have to compete with them?
November 9th.
Damn!
Yeah, that's too far away.
What the hell are they playing all year?
No, Jim. They decided to wait all the way till August.
Damn, November.
They're gonna be in there making
turkey and dressing.
Yeah, the total season life is 100 days.
I mean,
yeah,
damn.
It was the writer's strike.
And Tim.
They extended.
I know you're the tar guy. What'd you think about Amazing Race episode one?
I enjoyed it. It was good seeing more normal Amazing Race. You know, without the charter and all that stuff.
Okay.
Like,
Who's your favorite?
The airport.
Who do you like, Tim?
I kind of like Roddick Terry, the father and son.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
Can I give you a little hint?
Sure.
They make the final three.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who else I had liked in there. Steve.
Listen to my little spoiler here. Listen to Melissa spoiling this shit. Listen.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been listening.
You go, girl. Yeah, you go, girl.
She's a female game.
Yeah, hey, good. Yeah, do it.
A couple of the people that I liked didn't go far, but...
Melissa, just so you know, site you follow, me and somebody named Georgia Peach, we're good friends.
Yep. Good.
And she's in Big Brother Whispers.
Good.
Does she
post a lot?
No, she don't ever post. She likes to read. It started out because I would post her information, and I wouldn't say it was from that site, you know, RFF.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So she contacted me. She said, Jim, I read all your Survivor shit. And if you're going to post stuff from RFF, would you please give us credit? And I said, I don't know. And she said, why? And I said, okay, I will. If I get it from you, I will. She said, okay. And then I stopped getting it from her. I went somewhere else. But she's still in, and she's in Survivor Whispers too. She's in both groups. And hey, trust me, RFF, if you know who they are, and Georgia Peach, they are fantastic at what they do.
Yeah, they are. They're really good.
Yeah.
Mhm.
And they don't
and,
just spoil
and with a
the,
show like
US.
That. With a show like that, they have sources. I don't know if you'd call them sources, but fans all around the world, if they see them in town, they send the information back with pictures, and that's how they
yeah.
knock it out and figure it out. And normally at the end, if she figures out where the finale is, she tries to be there. and figure it out where they're going to go to where she can see it. So kudos. I have nothing but positive stuff to say about RFF and Georgia Peach. They are fantastic. They're great.
Yeah, they are. Well, for Tar anyway. That's where I go for Tar info.
Right.
So the other two teams that are
she gets her survivor info from me.
The other two teams in there is in the final three. But I was so happy to see that the father and son were.
Yeah, I haven't read any of the spoilers. I did watch the premiere, and I like how they have it back-to-back with Survivor now. You can watch three hours of really good TV.
Yeah.
It's great.
I really like that. I think CBS will keep it that way moving forward.
They'd be smart, too.
Yeah. I think they would, too, Tim. I didn't make it through the end of the episode before I conked out. Because, you know, I'm an old man. I need my sleep.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, Steve can verify
that. I have a lot go on where I need my sleep.
Yeah, and I unfortunately passed out like around, I think there was like 30 minutes left in the episode last night. And next thing I knew, I closed my eyes, and next thing I knew, it was morning.
You know what I do?
Oh, yeah, that looks good.
I wait until the next day, and I watch it all on Paramount Plus.
Oh, that looks good, yeah. But what we got left here? We ain't got much left, do we?
We got this. Just about a little
minutes.
Less than 5 minutes.
We got 5 minutes. 5 minutes. All right. So in the last 5 minutes, you guys want me to tell you who wins?
Yep.
Yep.
Ain't happening.
Okay. Who on you? As long as it's not Jake, I'll be happy.
It ain't Jake. I told you it ain't Jake.
Okay.
I told you Jake is final three, but don't have a prayer.
I do want to know one thing about Jake. Does he go home?
I have no idea what size he is.
Does he go back home to his grandmother?
Probably.
I don't know nothing about that, JV. I have no idea about that.
Man, I thought you knew everything.
Well, I don't know that. I don't know that.
Okay. That's all right.
Yeah, you know, that's how I've always been. If I know, I tell you. If I don't know, I just don't know. So, anybody else got thoughts, questions before we close this down tonight?
Fox.
Steve, I'm still eating ribs.
Stay tuned tomorrow. Everybody tune in for our podcast tomorrow night for Big Brother.
There you go. Plug your show tomorrow night. And Steve, what about Saturday night? We got two more pods coming this week.
Yeah, Sports Whispers Weekly on Saturday night, and I got a shit ton of a rant against Kurt Schilling. Which,
amen.
Yeah, the fucking asshole that he is. But
amen.
That will, of course,
and then tomorrow night, Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night, Big Brother.
So.
Yep.
And we'll see just exactly how much talk we can milk out of the non-action that we saw take place this week.
I think there was plenty to talk about.
Melissa, I tell you how blog talk respects me. I used to get notices on the night of a pod, like an hour before, reminding me you got a pod coming up. You know when I get them now? The next morning after it's over.
I got mine before.
I know. I've started getting mine the next day. I'm like, we did that shit last night, and now you telling me we're going to do it?
Oh, yeah.
I told Steve, I guess I pissed off Facebook. I pissed off blog. I guess I just pissed everybody off. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. Hey, when we were talking baseball earlier, I forgot to mention that at a recent Phillies game, somebody tried to bring an alligator into a Phillies game claiming it was an emotional support animal.
All right. Emotional support animal.
Okay, we got 1 minute left. Get your goodbyes in. We will be back again next Thursday night.